Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
It's always a privilege and pleasure to join you for my new daily podcast on the CGM Radio Network. But while the podcast is new, there has been a Bob Siegel broadcast show for over 15 years. In that vein, as you've noticed, I have, along with our new programs, been offering some retrospective shows, introducing to the new podcast audience my many co-hosts already familiar to the broadcast audience. I probably don't need to tell you that the co-host I enjoy having the most is none other than my beautiful wife, Dana, who also has a beautiful radio voice, far better than mine. She actually co-hosted long before we were married. And so, in today's look back, you will hear Dana Siegel introduced as Dana Wright. Well, I did feature a lighter program which introduced Dana to the podcast audience over a month ago. Today's highlighted episode is extremely special. Dana had just recently responded to God's call for a unique and vital personal ministry, that of offering emotional healing and forgiveness for women who have had abortions. While some of the statistics she shares have since been updated, the essence of her message is more relevant than ever. Most notably, Dana knew that to offer healing to others, in order for women to find her a safe person to relate to and open up with, she first needed to be candid about her own background. This was not something anyone told her she should do or talked her into doing. Instead, she made the decision independently. That is, independent of people. She was definitely feeling a tug from God. While some of the show has been edited, in as much as Dana was also providing specific information for a forthcoming women's retreat, I think you will still find this program quite powerful. These past 6 years, Dana's ministry has grown in leaps and bounds. Dana continued over the year to talk about this subject, bringing many women from her ministry on the radio as guests. Her annual retreat, called From Grief to Gladness, along with ongoing weekly Bible studies, have seen person after person delivered, set free, and made aware that they are cherished, loved daughters of God. Here then is the Bob Siegel Show from the fall of 2014. Co-hosted by Dana Wright, less than a year before she became Dana Siegel. Even if Jesus Christ was God incarnate, God in the form of a man who visited our world back some 2,000 years ago, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, and returned to heaven, even if you believed all these things, even if you accepted all these things without any doubt, even if he came to forgive us our sins by dying for our sins, I know what some of you are still thinking. You're saying, well, there's at least one sin I know he didn't die for. Mine. In your mind, you did something so awful, so heinous, that you're sure God will never forgive you. At least, that's what you're telling yourself. Well, my dear friends, I have some good news for you. That's actually what the word gospel means, good news. So let me tell you some good news. And even as I say it, it will sound too good to be true. But even though it sounds that way, listen anyway. Please, you want to hear this. Are you ready? Nothing you have done, and I mean absolutely nothing, can keep you from the love and forgiveness of God, provided you want the love and forgiveness of God. But Bob, you're thinking, I know he forgives those little things. I know he forgives pride or gossip, but what about big things? There is no hierarchy of sin, my friend, at least not as far as forgiveness is concerned. Even murder. No, I don't want you to go out and murder anybody. But listen, two Bible heroes were murderers, repentant murderers, but murderers nevertheless. King David was guilty of murder. So was the Apostle Paul. And I don't say that in the abstract. They themselves confessed their own guilt. Here are the words of Paul in Timothy. Here's Paul's testimony. Listen to this. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The man who wrote half the New Testament says he's the worst of sinners. And then he goes on, he says, but for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience and example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. See, the reason Paul, God had a lot of reasons for saving Paul, not the least of which is he loved Paul and created Paul and wanted to forgive him, but he wanted Paul to be an example that if the guy who wrote half the books of the New Testament actually sat on a court and voted for the death of Christians, if that guy could be forgiven, anybody could be forgiven. But let's be honest. The truth is even Christians, even people who go to church and vocally affirm the forgiveness of Jesus, have trouble forgiving themselves. And when they think of that sin of no return, it is not murder that usually comes to their minds. It's usually something related to sexuality, an affair, or maybe even something from your past. Perhaps it's something you no longer do. It's been years, many, many years, but you still can't accept God's forgiveness because you cannot forgive yourself. Today, we will talk about one such sin, the sin of having had an abortion. Now, I know a wide variety of people are listening right now, representing a wide variety of viewpoints. Some of you had abortions and you cannot forgive yourselves, but others of you may not even believe abortion is wrong. If you are one such person, keep listening, not because we plan to make you feel bad, we don't, but because your abortion may have affected your own feelings more than you realize. The goal is not to condemn, but to forgive. The message of the gospel, love. And here to talk about this delicate, sensitive subject is a woman who is no stranger to the Bob Siegel Show. She has often co-hosted the show, and today it will be her show. Dana Wright, welcome back to our program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here. I can't say I was looking forward to this show, but it is a very important show and something that needs to be done. I also want to say, as we get started, that if I get emotional, I will trust that Bob will take over until I can compose myself.
Oh, you mean
pull myself back together?
Twist my arm to say something if you can't
start talking? Yeah,
Dana, I just can't imagine me being able to do that.
Well, just be ready, because I don't know. I've prayed I will get through this without too many emotional drops, but we'll see.
All of you out there listening, we don't want Dana to feel she can't get emotional, because it's an emotional subject. But on the other hand, if she gets too emotional, you're going to have to hear me more. So you got kind of a delicate little balance to pray there. I'll leave that up to your good graces on how to pray that through.
Exactly. I also want to say one more thing, too, before we get started, that if any of you out there in the audience are listening that have had an abortion, I know that just hearing that word is producing a strong reaction in you, even maybe a physical reaction. I want you to not be tempted to turn off this show. I know that it's easier to not listen to this, to not face it, but I really want to encourage you to stay with us. I believe you will find hope and some answers by the end of the show if you stay with us on that. Those of us that have had an abortion survive it by not thinking about it, talking about it. We don't even allow ourselves to feel the pain of that choice. So again, if you're out there, you're not alone. What you're feeling right now is very real, but there are ways to get past that pain. So please stay with us. And before we go on to talk about how to get some help for that pain, we're going to talk about abortion statistically in our country. I think a lot of people don't realize that 33% of the women in the United States have had an abortion. That's one in three women. It's a much more common choice, I think, than a lot of people realize. Even right now, if you were to think about all the females in your life, all of your friends, family members, church members, and so on, all the females, I bet you'd be hard-pressed to figure out a third of them that have had an abortion. The reason for that is because this is such a secret. It's a prevalent practice in our country, obviously. A third of the women have had an abortion, but we do not talk about it. Most women don't talk about it. Many, many keep it a complete secret from everyone, including the man that fathered the child. The following statistics I'm going to share from Brian Fisher, who is a co-founder and the president of Online for Life. Fisher is an author of a new book that just came out this year called Abortion, The Ultimate Exploitation of Women. Kind of a different turn on this, just talking about how we think abortion is a way to help women and to give them an opportunity to get out of a situation they're in. But Fisher's research has actually shown that it's a way that women are staying oppressed. And so we're going to explore that a little bit later. Every year in the United States, more than 1.3 million abortions are performed. You break that down, that's 3,300 abortions every day.
Wow, that's just staggering statistic.
It's 137 per hour. It's one every 25 seconds.
Incredible.
So during this hour while we're talking, 137 babies will lose their lives. So abortion is one of the most common surgical procedures in the United States. People don't realize that either. It's most prevalent among young women, minority women, and low-income women. Each month, there are almost a million searches on the word abortion and other related keywords for that nationally. So obviously, this is a
searches, you mean a Google search?
Google search, almost a million
and of course,
monthly.
People could have all kinds of reasons for doing that.
That's correct. And that doesn't include searches about like unwanted pregnancy or terminate pregnancy. That's just simply
the word abortion.
Around the word abortion.
Wow.
And what's interesting is that families and the women aren't going to their family and friends or pastors for their help. They're going to the internet. They're going to a place where their secret can stay safe and no one has to know. So it just perpetuates the secrecy. Almost half of the abortions performed in the United States are on women who've had an abortion previously. 6 in 10 women who've had abortions are already mothers. So they've already been a mother and now they're choosing abortion on a later pregnancy. Abortion is being used in our country as birth control, especially for low-income families. One of the main arguments for abortion, that it should be allowed, would always be in situations of incest and rape. But that only accounts for 2% of the abortions in our country. People don't realize that either. It's a very small amount. Statistics also show that 42% of the women who abort their children do it because of financial stress. The second most popular reason for the election of abortion is for women who would rather not feel forced to abandon their educational career pursuits. That definitely was a part of my decision. I was in the middle of college. I couldn't even see my way clear of being able to have a child at that time. And at that point, I thought, this will interrupt my career path. And that can't happen. So I am definitely in that statistic. Statistics indicate that 78% of abortion-determined women who see their unborn child on an ultrasound or hear the heartbeat will then choose to not abort the baby. That's a really encouraging statistic. 78% of those women that thought they wanted to get an abortion will not do it once they've either seen the baby or heard the heartbeat, but it's trying to get the women to the pregnancy centers to have that opportunity is the problem.
And it is interesting because sometimes when there are anti-abortion protesters at clinics, and some of them are obnoxious and get in your face. We need to be fair about this. But when they have pictures of the unborn baby,
yes,
people just go ballistic. They don't want to see them. A fair question begs to be asked, what are we afraid of them seeing? If it's really just a lot of tissue, what are we afraid of them seeing?
Yeah, exactly. So, the hope is we can get more women to these pregnancy centers and get an opportunity to hear another option. Women are changed and they are hurt by the choice of abortion. That you're not told that when you go to the clinics. It's all very medical. There's very little talk about what's really happening. In fact, they don't even use the word baby. It's just a medical procedure. And so as we go into this next segment where we talk about the symptoms and how this plays out and the changes and the hurts that a woman really feels that they don't tell us about, I want to just reassure women, again, those of you that have had an abortion, that your baby is safe and fine and that your baby went straight into the arms of Jesus and is in heaven and is in God's care. So you do need to just rest in that and be at peace with that, that your baby is being taken care of no matter what choice you made. So let's go back to the hurts and the symptoms that a woman can experience. The next information that I'm going to share today is from Jennifer O'Neill, who's a famous actress and a cover girl.
She starred in Summer of 42.
Yeah, she's been in a lot of things. And she experienced serious trauma in her life from having chosen an abortion. And finally, in 2005, she came out and wrote a book called You're Not Alone and started really working in Hollywood to raise awareness about what can really happen to a woman. It isn't just a simple medical procedure. She states in her book several facts that are very interesting. 85% of the women that choose to abort a baby report that they have had a great impact in their life from that decision. That's 85%. That's a lot.
Impact meaning
something not positive.
Good, yeah, not
something,
a good impact.
Yes, a negative impact of some kind. 78% of the women report that their self-image changed drastically after the abortion. 85% struggle with guilt or self-condemnation over the decision. 67% thought their life would stay the same even after the abortion. I was one of those. I didn't think it would make a difference.
Well, they're usually counseled at some of the clinics that do abortions that their life will be the same.
So you can't,
the doctors know what they're doing, but ladies, yeah. I know that a lot of you just, you were told that this was just removing some tissue, and don't be so hard on yourselves.
Yeah. 78% thought the emotional pain they felt from the abortion would lessen over the years, and then they find, in fact, that it's gotten stronger. That would be my case as well. 73% of the women that have had abortions gone through the abortion experience say that as a whole, it was the biggest mistake in their life. So women who've experienced abortions, and all of those statements I just shared were definitely true for me. It had a great impact on my life. It changed my self-image drastically. I felt great condemnation and guilt. I did not have any idea how difficult it was going to be after the abortion and the impact it would have on my life. And it is definitely the biggest mistake I ever made. Ms. O'Neill goes on to cite some other things that approximately half the women who have abortions experience post-traumatic stress disorder. Half. They don't tell you that when you're going in. 80% of the women will experience some kind of symptom or some kind of problem from having gone through an abortion. Some of the symptoms can manifest in several different ways. Here's a list from Jennifer O'Neill's book, a higher risk of developing depression. Women also have a higher rate of long-term clinical depression. There are more mental health problems, a need for psychiatric hospitalization, increased substance abuse. 53% of women that have had an abortion.
It's almost as if it's every major emotional trauma a human being could possibly go through.
It manifests
in almost every.
And 53% of those women use the substances to try to deaden the pain and the hurt that they're feeling from this decision. Also, many women experience problems with bonding with future children because they've already had a disconnect with another child. Another way to look at this, and this is from a book called, it's a booklet called Healing the Hurt by Terry and Paul Reiser. It's published by Focus on the Family in 2010, and I'm just going to read through the different topics. There are many signs of stress that can develop after an abortion experience. Sometimes they develop immediately. Sometimes it's over many years. They can exhibit themselves unexpectedly and without warning even. The signs of stress can affect a woman in one or more of the following ways, physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. I would say for me, I was affected in all four ways over time. Some of the symptoms named in this booklet are the following. Guilt from violating your own sense of morality. Self-destructive behaviors such as eating disorders, alcohol or substance abuse. Abusive relationships or promiscuity. All of those things go into the area of self-destructive behaviors. Re-experiencing events related to the abortion, such as memories or nightmares that involve losing the baby or even dismembered babies. It can be very gruesome. Anxiety that leads to headaches, dizziness, pounding hearts, emotional abdominal cramps, muscle tightness, and difficulty sleeping. So there can be a lot of physical symptoms from that. Psychological numbing. Your unconscious vow to never let anything hurt that badly again and to hamper your inability to enjoy an emotional, intimate relationship.
And I think that although there's many different things, that I'm guessing that's one of the most common ones, that the numbing.
I would think so, yeah, because you can't feel. To get through this, you can't feel, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. And depression, which reveals itself through deep sadness, sudden and uncontrollable crying, poor self-concept, sleep and appetite disturbances, loss of normal sources of pleasure, and even thoughts of suicide. Women also may become preoccupied with getting pregnant again, an unconscious hope that they can replace the baby that they chose to abort. Anxiety over fertility and childbearing issues, fearing that God will punish you by not letting you have children. Anniversary reactions, such as increased symptoms around the time of the anniversary of the abortion or the due date of when the child was to be born.
I hadn't thought about that, but I can imagine that would be really something.
Yes, it is. So I want to just give some encouraging scriptures here. Psalm 31:9. This one's not encouraging. This one actually is a reflection of what happened to me. It says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my sin, and my body has wasted away." Key words in that verse are sorrow and sighing. They're so meaningful. This is where we are before we go to the healing. Our sorrow and our sighing are the result of the sinful decision we made, and that we're wasting away if we don't deal with that.
And it becomes comforting because you're crying out to God, but He will respond and give comfort and mercy. So that verse does lead to comfort by being that honest with God.
Exactly. And so here's a counter verse to that one that talks about the sorrow and sighing, and it even uses the same words. I love this. Listen to this. Isaiah 35:10. "And the ransomed of the Lord will return and come with joyful shouting into Zion, with everlasting joy upon their heads. They will find gladness and joy, and the sorrow and sighing will flee away." I love that. God is going to be victorious in this.
That's interesting how you noticed that the same words matched up.
Exact same words. And I kept checking different versions of this because I love how God just, the Bible is so filled with details. And I just love that God knows I delight in that.
God was doing sequels long before Hollywood figured it out.
He definitely was. So the good news is that God is all, He already knows about your abortion decision. He's just waiting for you to come to Him for the healing and the restoration, and only He can heal you of that pain. My story started back in college, and like I said, I had emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental fallout from this. I really expected that I was going to go to the grave with this information. I wasn't going to share it with anybody. I eventually learned that the impact of my abortion experience had gone deeply into my soul and my spirit and had manifested in different ways. I carried this for more than 30 years. I did not tell anybody other than my husband a few months before we got married. I had not told anybody about my abortion experience for all of that time.
And how did your husband respond to it when you told him?
He was very compassionate and supportive. And I was grateful because I couldn't have handled one more piece of guilt or condemnation. I had already put myself under so much. I did not need anybody else's. My world crashed in when I discovered that I was pregnant halfway through college. I was living on my own, barely paying the bills. I was working most just part-time as I was trying to go through college to get my teaching credential. But more importantly than anything, I was a role model for students after school in an after-school care program, and I was a youth group leader for our church high school group.
So you felt no freedom to talk to anybody about this?
Definitely not. Definitely not. It was so humiliating for me to even think about the Christian community, knowing, first of all, that I was even sexually active, but then to know that I had gotten pregnant out of wedlock.
But what a shame that the Christian community would portray itself that way, since forgiveness and is supposed to be what this is all about, a sanctuary.
But at that time, it was not thought that anybody sitting inside the church building was doing this. And that was a wrong perception because many women are my age and have had abortions, there.
I think in these times, probably some people feel that way too.
Yeah, but it is very true. Now, I know our church, Skyline, has been very compassionate, and Pastor Garlow always, whenever the topic of abortion comes up, is always so careful to say, if you have had an abortion in your past, you are loved, God is, you know, He's there for you, He's forgiven you. I mean, that is... I've never felt condemned at Skyline. That was not the case of churches that I grew up in. And at that time, I couldn't even fathom letting anybody know that this had happened to me. When I shared with my boyfriend that I was pregnant, he said, "Oh, I shouldn't worry." He knew exactly what to do because, ironically, a few weeks earlier, he had taken his older sister to terminate a pregnancy because she didn't want to keep that child. So he knew exactly what to do. He made all the arrangements, he paid for it and took me. I really did not realize what that single decision was going to start in my life. I knew that I couldn't carry the child for 9 months and give it up for adoption. I just knew that about myself. I knew I couldn't support a child at that time. It would ruin my plans for a career. Listen to that. Ruin my plans. what about the plans of the baby?
Right, but
what
sounds,
about the
but
baby God
like,
created?
But it sounds like you were thinking of the baby, too.
Not as much as I should have. Okay. The right thing to do, the motherly, loving thing to do would have been to give the baby up. And I really thought I could keep that a secret the rest of my life and go to my grave with that. Joyce Meyer always says, secrets buried alive never die. And that is so true. It's going to manifest. I thought I wouldn't ever have to share it. And then when Bob and I started dating and I thought things were getting more serious, I thought I need to confess to Bob what's going on. Seeing as you're a pastor, I really honestly believed that there would be no room of understanding in my life. And I thought, well, I just better let him know quickly and get this thing over with. So surprisingly enough, when I shared with you, you were so compassionate and encouraging. And what was so helpful to me is that you saw so quickly that I had not done any processing of this or had gone through any of the healing that needed to happen. And you took me through several months of going through a counseling healing process that really helped me finally be able to feel God's forgiveness and receive that. Up until then, I knew in my head God forgave me. I knew, intellectually I knew that, but I could not forgive myself for the choice I had made. And so you helped me bridge that to where I could actually let myself off of the hook.
Well, let me say in front of the audience, I was honored to do that. And for those of you who might have somebody in your lives that you're afraid to tell, I want to just tell you from my point of view, it never would have occurred to me for a second to break up with Dana over that. And it is an issue of not being able to forgive yourselves, because that is what Christianity is all about, forgiveness. And if somebody's afraid that they can't confess something and not receive forgiveness, then what are we doing here?
Right. So thank you for that. Thank you for helping me. I didn't even know there was something I needed to do. And from that, then God started doing a work in me. And it's really interesting that shortly after that, when I completed the healing process with you, the Skyline Church offered their first Bible study for women to heal from abortion. And I was so freed from the bondage that I had felt from that decision that I knew I needed to be a part of it to help other women and to encourage them. So I started in that process. And when I did, what God started laying on my heart was that there was a ministry he had for me, a ministry of helping women that have had abortions to heal from that. At first, I was just stunned. I didn't want that to be my ministry. I don't want to have to talk about this. But God just so clearly over the next 6 months to a year laid out the scriptures, the structure of a weekend retreat, of all of the lessons he wanted to have, the supplies, everything. He just systematically started laying it out for me. It was a really exciting time.
Well, that's the heart and soul of being called to ministry, is that God's done something for you and you want to now in turn do it for others.
Yes. And I also knew that it was more important that I not worry about my pride and my embarrassment and humiliation of having to share this, because what I experienced from God was so much bigger than that. So he gently and encouraged me over time to be able to have the strength to be able to talk about it.
Well, and I remember being very proud of you, because at each step along the way called for even more courage.
Sitting. This is a miracle alone that I'm sitting here doing this.
Here we are in Radio Land. But no, you have risen to the occasion every single time.
Yeah, it's been just a fascinating walk with him. You aren't allowed to acknowledge that the baby existed when you have an abortion. You aren't allowed to grieve that loss of the baby you never held. And that's a really important process that women need to go through to be able to get past this and be able to get a hold of that pain. I would never have imagined in a million years God could have done anything good from that choice that I made. And yet, look at what's happened and look at the doors he's opening. It's just amazing.
Well, he's the creator, so he's also the recreator. And from the worst of things, he recreates.
He is going to show you his divine exchange. He's going to take the loss, the suffering, the death that you feel, and he's going to be able to show you his forgiveness and give you his beauty and life. I just want to say, as we're closing this out, that I know I'm on the radio talking about this, And it's only by the grace of God that I'm able to do this, because honestly, 3 years ago, I really would not have ever pictured me being able to do this. But I do know and remember so clearly the just paralyzing fear of being known that this was a part of my past. The very first opportunity they gave to us at Skyline to get into this Bible study, they also opened up a private room upstairs for women and men to go up and get prayed over and healed. I circled the bottom of the church through the cafe, the atrium, the hallway. I circled 4 or 5 times just praying when I hit the stairway I'd have the courage to turn and go up again. But I was so terrified that somebody was going to see my face, see me, and know my past. I wasn't ready yet to reveal it. I also, the first night of the Bible study, and I'm not a quitter, but the first night of the Bible study, I pulled up to the house. It happened to be our women's ministry pastor's house that the Bible study was going to be held in that night. And I sat in the car and contemplated pulling away because nobody had seen my face yet. It is terrifying. Ladies, I know that. I know it's scary to be coming to a point where you will reveal this to someone, but please don't let that stop you. Again, I think the other thing I want to say to the women listening, you probably don't even know how much this has impacted your life until you really approach it and address it and process it. I didn't think I needed it. If I hadn't confessed it to you and you hadn't seen the healing I needed, I probably would have gone to my grave with it. So if there's the other thing that you can hear from me, besides I understand your fear of being known about this, the second part is just trusting that God has something wonderful for you, and there's more that you're going to discover if you step out and just give it a chance.
And the loneliest person in the world is not somebody on a desert island. You could be in a crowd of people, and if you're keeping a secret, you're alone.
And I can say, you know, I host a women's Bible study in my home. We've had 4 of them over the last 2 years, and I stand in awe of what God does in every woman's life. The transformation they go through is absolutely incredible. I also want people to just remember that abortion has far-reaching, devastating impacts on women. It isn't just a medical procedure. It isn't just a simple solution for an unwanted pregnancy. It destroyed a baby God created, and it destroys the woman's peace of mind and her heart. It is my hope that it will become easier for our older women to talk about how abortion hurt them and how it changed them, so that our younger women won't choose abortion and that we can stop having the abortions in this country, and so that those who have chosen abortion in the past will find the healing and restoration. Do not worry about how old you are. I can tell you we've had in our Bible studies women from 20 to 65. It's a range. It's incredible. God still stands ready to heal you no matter where you are in your life. And Bob, I want to thank you so much for allowing us to have this show.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.